a person who came once to Rav Shlomo Zalman Arba, and this person asked Rav Shlomo Zalman, the word yeshiva, what is the makar of this word? What does yeshiva come from? I see Meir smiling. He knows this word already. He's heard me say it once too many times. But for the people that have never heard it, it's a gevaldik gevar to know. And what does the lashon of yeshiva come from? So Rav Shlomo Zalman said as follows. He said the simple pshat in why yeshiva is called yeshiva is because what do you do in yeshiva? You sit and learn. But he says that's not the case. That's not the reason why we call yeshiva yeshiva. What is the reason why we call yeshiva yeshiva? The reason why we call yeshiva yeshiva is because of a different reason altogether. And he says, I'll prove to you, before I tell you what the reason that we call it yeshiva is, I will prove to you why it can't be called yeshiva because it's a place that you sit and learn. He says, because the lashon of yeshiva has been around forever. There's a Gemara that says that miyamein shel aviseinu, from the time of our forefathers, meaning from the time that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were existent, like paskil yeshiva me'aviseinu me'am, there was never a break in yeshiva. Meaning Avraham Avinu, the Gemara says, was a Rosh Yeshiva, Yitzchak was a Rosh Yeshiva, Yaakov was a Rosh Yeshiva, and then Levi was a Rosh Yeshiva, and then v'chulei v'chulei, until today we always have yeshivas. Yeshivas are things that we have constantly. Now, if yeshiva was called yeshiva because you sit and learn, we would not be able to, by right, call a yeshiva a place that you sit and learn from before the time of Rabbi Gamliel. Why? Because the Gemara in Megillah tells us that from the time of Rabbi Gamliel, there was a tremendous halishos that came to the world. People got very weak. They weren't able to what? They were not able to learn standing. Really, Tyrat says was supposed to be learned standing. It brings a pasuk in Megillah, V'ata pay amayri madi. Stand next to me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells my Shrabenu. Because Torah, when you're learning Torah, you're really supposed to be standing. What's the heter that we have as I look around the Zoom, whoever is showing their face, I see that everybody, including myself, are sitting. What's the heter? Why are we able to sit if you're supposed to be standing? The answer is what? That we are sitting because we got weak. After the time of Rabbi Gamliel, there was Yard of Chol Shel Olam. It became a very, very weak place. We're in a state of weakness. We're not able to what? We are not able to learn anymore standing. We're too shvach. So if the yeshiva is called yeshiva because of the place that you sit and learn, that's good for the time of Rabbi Gamliel when they talk us sat and learn. But before the time of Rabbi Gamliel, they would stand. So why are we called a yeshiva? So Shlomo Zalman says the Gevalda Gevart. He says the reason why it's called the yeshiva is because it's the place that causes yeshuvan shel olam. That means that the entire existence of the world takes place simply because what? Because of yeshivas. So yeshiva is not simply an institution of higher learning. It's not a college for Jews. It's not. A yeshiva is a place that literally keeps up the entire world. That's what yeshiva, it's a makam yeshuvan shel olam. This is Rav Shlomo Zalman's chiddush in the word yeshiva, but it's very important for us when we want to understand what we have, what we're doing here tonight and in the mornings and every time that we're taking part in yeshiva, albeit a virtual one, there's a tremendous chashivas. We're keeping up the world. You know, we're living in times that there is this terrible virus that's spreading around the world. And the world is beginning to at least have time to appreciate things a little bit, I think. Because they have so much time in quarantine and in isolation. You're sitting at home all day. You're not running to work. You're not taking a train. You're not running on a city bus. You're not doing all the things that we're used to. We have a lot of time on our hands these days. And so you're able to really think a lot about things that you never really had a chance to think about. One of the tragedies of our life is we're always so rushed. We're always on the move and on the go, and we never have a chance to sit and think. We're going to talk about this more on Friday morning, Mitzvah Shabbat Shmuz at 10:30 in the morning on this same bad time, same bad channel. But there is now a lot of time that people have to sit and appreciate things. Some people, I read a lot of people's stories about what they're going through in these days, and I feel it myself. I'm sure many of you feel it also. You get a new appreciation maybe for your mother, for the fact that she cooks so much for you, and now she has to cook, you know, every day. We have, you know, you have to figure out a menu, breakfast, lunch, supper to feed all the hungry kids in the house. You appreciate your kids, you appreciate your wife, your husband. People are appreciating all of the people that are the first responders. The other day we were supposed to go out on our porch and clap for Hatzalah, and you see all types of appreciations for the nurses and for the doctors and for the police. They're doing tremendous work. They're literally saving lives every single day. Imagine what it's like today to be a nurse or to be a doctor. You thought it was like a chashuva profession. You thought you were doing it to get the MD license plates. All of a sudden, every single day, you're not going into a hospital and just being like the schvitzy doctor. You're going to the hospital and you're literally being meiser nefesh, because if you don't have the virus, you're going in and a flimsy mask is probably not going to do the trick to protect you against hundreds of people on every floor of the hospital that are have the virus or might have the virus, and carriers, and then you have people on ventilators, Leilenu. So these are tremendous people. These are people that are, you know, doing tremendous work for the world. But very few people would think that we tonight on this little Zoom class that we're doing, on this VOD, that we're doing something that's heroic. It's a VOD, it's a, you know, there's plenty of people that are doing Zoom in college classes, and all my kids are doing Zoom classes, whether they're in high school or they're elementary school. So no, Yeshaya, so we're giving a shiur on Zoom. It's not that such a big deal. The answer is this Zoom class that we're taking part in, and every shiur that you're going to from your rabbeim in the mornings and at night, every single day, and the Torah that you're learning privately with your chavrusas, this is learning, and this is an activity that we're doing right this second that's literally keeping up the world. It's Yeshuva and Shalom. It's the fact that the entire world civilization hangs on what we're doing right now. That's an amazing thing to think about. If you think about that for a second, I think we would all understand that we're the ones that deserve a ticker tape parade in Manhattan, not just all the people that were the first responders and the people in the hospital. They definitely are very heroic, but we're doing things that the world will never appreciate. The world doesn't realize what we're doing, but the truth of the matter is that we are doing things that are yeshuva and shalom. What we're doing right now is being part of a yeshiva is something that is nothing less than saving the world as we know. Without what we're doing, the world would not exist, period. This is something that Reb Chaim Volozhiner writes about in his classic sefer, Nefesh HaChaim. Reb Chaim Volozhiner in that sefer writes that if the world would not have Torah being learned even for a split second, the world would explode. The entire world, he says, would cease to exist because Torah is not being learned. And as a result of that, Reb Chaim Volozhiner wasn't just a person who pontificated and said these things in a theoretical way but didn't act on them. Reb Chaim Volozhiner was the one, of course, who founded the famous revolutionary Volozhin Yeshiva. And in that yeshiva, because he believed so much in what he wrote in Nefesh HaChaim, that learning Torah literally keeps the world going, and that if there would be a second that the world would not have Torah being learned, it would cease to exist. Because he believed in that so to his core, you know what he did in his yeshiva? He instituted something called Ma'amadis. Ma'amadis was, or Mishmaris, was that he had rotations that 24/7 in his yeshiva, there would always be Talmidim learning. There would never be a time that you'd walk into the Volozhin yeshiva and not find boys learning. Whether it's at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, lunchtime, whether it's 12 o'clock at night, whether it was 3 o'clock in the morning, you would always find people learning in Balajna Yeshiva, because he understood that. I don't know if anyone else in the world is learning. I don't know. Back then, they didn't have a Lakewood and a Panovich and a Chevron and a Lander. They basically had, Balajna was one of the few yeshivas around, if at all. The reason why he started the Balajna Yeshiva, because he recognized that there was so little Torah being learned that he felt he had to do this. So he himself made a system that there would always be Torah learned, and therefore he was single-handedly in his yeshiva keeping up the world. Now, let me ask you, please, if you know the answer, take yourself off mute and answer. What would you say is the worst maimed or mishmar to get? Meaning, when do you think is the hardest time to learn Torah of the entire year?
After Yom Kippur.
After Yom Kippur. You heard the Shmuz already. All right. After Yom Kippur is the hardest time to learn Torah, because everybody wants to chop, you know, they wants to break their fast, they want to run and get their piece of kakish steak and their orange juice. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner recognized that this was going to be a very hard time to get anyone to volunteer to be for Taranut, to get that turn of learning. So guess who did it? That's right, Reb Chaim Volozhiner did that mishmar himself. He was the one after Havdalah by Ma'ariv on Matzah Yom Kippur in Balajan. He was the one that sat down with his Gemara and he learned Torah by himself in order to facilitate Yeshuva and Shalayim, in order to make sure that the world was going to continue to exist. And this is what we have to do right now, because it's a very, very dismal situation that we are in right now. Normally, we have so many yeshivas flourishing throughout the world. There's never been more Torah being learned. If you walk into any major institution or minor institution, or Kailo, or Cheder, or Beis Yaakov, there's constantly Torah being learned. But today, there's something very, very strange going on in the world, that every single yeshiva in the world, to my knowledge, is not having Torah being learned. They're dark, they're empty. I went into yeshiva yesterday because I needed to get my svarim together for this month. I needed to get my gemaras and my svarim and my index cards and all. I got my computer. This computer that I'm using is straight from yeshiva. I stole it. I'm just joking. I got permission to use it. I knew that would make people, you know, listen a little bit. So I got, you don't know how hard it was to get permission to go into that building. That building is shut. It's completely sealed. I needed to, Jonathan, you know, he's the main maintenance guy. He's only there one day a week and like for a few hours. I got the scoop that he was going to be there. I texted him the day before, Jonathan, can I come tomorrow? I need to spend a little time in my office and bring out a yeshiva, certain things. He said, okay, but you have to contact the dean, and he has to get permission from the vice president of Turo in order to get into the building. I don't know what the big, you know, what the nuclear secrets that are taking place in the building right now. I don't know what exactly the reason that I can't get into the building to use my office. But that was what I had to do. So I went into yeshiva and I went into the Beis Medrash, and it was the first day of the Zman. Yesterday was the first day of the Zman, right? And I took a video. I was very technologically astute. I'd probably be able to put a picture of it or a video up on the screen, right? My 9-year-old son is trying to give me tutorials on how to use Zoom in the most effective way possible. I mean, he's supposed to be using it, but I never, you know, anyway. But anyway, I took a picture of the Beis Medrash on the first day of the Zman, Lander Beis Medrash on the first day of the Zman. The lights were off and there wasn't a single person in the Beis Medrash. And it was very sad. It was like, I felt like it was Tisha B'Av. Like there's such a churban of Torah on the world. And the same scene would be playing out in Lakewood, in Chevron, in Panovich, in every major yeshiva in the world, every kail in the world, every Beis Yaakov in the world. It's a crazy thing. Normally, if you have a magefa in the world, it would be in like one country. You'd have a magefa, let's say, in Europe, but it wouldn't be in America and Eretz Yisrael and Russia and Where'd you hear of something in the history of the world, maybe from Sheshes Nebrachos, that you have the entire world under quarantine, under severe penalty if you go out the door, if you go into a shul or a beis medrash? You can't daven. You can't daven in a shul. It's a crazy thing. I mean, people are making these backyard minyanim, porch minyanim, and it's a very bad idea, according to the Rabbanim, and according to the Pesachim, and according to all of the medical professionals. It's something that we don't want to do, the other day I was shopping in a supermarket, and I overheard like two guys saying, we're making a minyan for mincha in the parking lot. And I was like, at first I was like, hey, you know, it was Chol Hamoed, and I said, you know, it would be nice to daven mincha on Chol Hamoed with a minyan. I haven't daven with a minyan in a month. I haven't said Amen Yeshmei Rav in a month with a minyan. I haven't said Kaddish or Kedusha. But the whole world is going through this. The whole world is going through this. There's a world that hasn't said Yehi Shmei Rabbah with a minyan. There's a world that hasn't had Kriyas HaTorah for a month, not just here, but every country in the world. It's an incredible thing that what the lesson is, what the takeaway lesson is from this whole thing, that you have to come to my shmuz on Friday. I'm teasing my shmuz on Friday. You gotta come on Friday morning, 10:30, okay? It's a very, very important thing. The old guys know that it's important. The new guys will know that it's important. But make it your business 10:30. The reason in yeshiva, it's 9 o'clock in the morning when yeshiva is in a normal situation. So we understand that it's important for guys to sleep a little later in quarantine. And so we made it 10:30. But everybody really, I really hope that you come. And if you come, you're going to get the lesson of Corona. I love when people say they know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Corona on the world. You're going to hear exactly from me what the Hashkafa is about that and more things. But one thing is clear, and that is that we have a very strange situation in the world, that there's no formal Torah. When I say formal Torah, I mean Torah in the structure of a classic yeshiva. And so when it's times like this, that the Torah that we ourselves are learning takes on an importance that it hasn't maybe ever before. Because before, you can always sort of rely on the fact that there are other people in the world keeping the world going. There's always yeshivas around the clock, around the globe, that are having hundreds, thousands of guys shtagging away in Eretz Yisrael, in America, in Europe, in South America, in wherever. There's Torah all over the world being learned, but right now, people don't have the structure of yeshiva. This is the best we could do, unfortunately, but this is still a yeshiva. This is a beautiful thing. Maybe this is the reason why the Rabbi Yisrael made this technology of Zoom, so that we can keep the world going. This is not a small thing that we're doing. Every shir that you come to in the structure of yeshiva is literally Yeshuva and Shalom today. It's literally like the Chaim Lajner on Matzah Yom Kippur, who didn't know if there was any other Torah being learned in the world. Now's the time that when you sit and learn, you're literally directly holding up the world, just you yourself. Because I don't know how many other people right now are learning in the world in a Shir setting like Yeshiva. And so we really have to appreciate who we are. Appreciate what Klal Yisrael is, and specifically B'nai Yeshiva. What we're doing right now is so critical that it allows us to really appreciate that we are holding up the world. I find that, you know, a mila of this situation that we're in, it's very important. You know, we know the chesreinus. We know that it's very hard to be without a formal yeshiva, not in a shir with a rebbe in the room, and not with a chevra to shmuz with, and it's very hard. And there's a lot of chisreinus right now, but there's a tremendous amount of milus as well. And we have to like sort of think about the milus, about all the advantages that we can take from this situation. First of all, we have to appreciate what we don't have right now, so that when we have it again, we won't take it for granted. So we have to appreciate the yeshiva. We have to appreciate our shuls. We have to appreciate our aveim. We have to appreciate our friends. We have to appreciate all of the things that we always thought were given to us, but now we realize that it's not a given. We realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could take things away so quickly. We have to appreciate our health, the fact that we're healthy. I don't want to keep on discussing it, but I had this coronavirus a few weeks ago before Yom Tov, and it was a horrible, horrible experience, and I didn't know if I'd make it through this. It was such a, the serum were terrible, the pains and whatever. I don't want to go through all the gory details again, but it was really unpleasant. And so when you get healthy, you have to appreciate you're able to eat and you're not on a ventilator. You could breathe. When you make an Asher Yatzar, you have to really stop. Don't walk around and mumble something, but really try to appreciate the words of Asher Yatzar, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the ability to function in a normal, healthy way. We have to appreciate Tfilah B'Tzibur. We realize now how we didn't always appreciate going to shul. How many times did we miss minyanim? Do we miss shacharis? We slept late, or we missed a mincha, or we tapped the ma'ariv, but in a very we didn't have kavana. Now we could appreciate what it means to have a minyan kavua, to have a tzibur, to have kriyas hatayra. These are things that we can't take for granted again. And we have to resolve. I remember the first time that I was able to daven again after Corona, during Corona, it was a disaster. I wasn't able, I literally could not get off the couch. I was stuck on the couch. I didn't eat for 2 weeks straight. I lost a lot of weight, and then Baruch Hashem, I had to put it all back on and then some, but I caught up. But it was, the way I davened when I was in Corona, you know what I did? I was I washed Nagel last year somehow. I plopped back on the couch. I davened by heart whatever I could. Baruch, I don't know what I was saying. I don't even think I was saying anything. I was probably just, mumbling something. And then with the last of my strength, that later in the day, I put on tefillin for 30 seconds and I went back to the couch. The first day that I was able to once again daven like a mensch, I had enough strength to sit up by davening and put 12,000 tefillin on, I was makabel on myself that I would never go back to davening without kavana. And I would just be try to work on my kavana. And I'm not saying that it hasn't gone up and down. It has. It used to be a lot starker, and now it's already starting to wane. But I hat myself when it does, and I say, no, you can't allow yourself to retreat again. You have to stay strong. You have to appreciate the fact that you could daven. You have to appreciate the fact that you're healthy enough to sit up and daven with, like a mensch. Shabbos, Yom Tov, you can daven with kavana. You don't have to rush through anything. Pesukei Zimra doesn't have to be, skipping through, just doing Baruch Shem Asher Yishtabach to catch up with the tzibur. You can actually daven like a mensch. There's a lot of milas that we're having now that we're learning about, and hopefully we'll take with us afterwards. I was just telling one of the Talmidim, Shlomi Martyr, from Toronto, so he's going to hear this again, but we were talking about different things, lessons to be learned from this. And one thing that you can learn, and I think it's a tremendous lesson, but it's something that I don't know if once we're back, quote unquote, into normal times, we'll remember this. But a lot of people got married over the last month in a backyard. They didn't spend $100,000 on a wedding that their parents didn't have. They were just able to make a wedding with barely maybe a minyan or two minyanim. They had maybe a one-man band. They had maybe a photographer if they were lucky. And you know what? Guess what? From what I understand, those people that got married in that way are just as married as people that get married in Terrace on the Park and Marina Del Rey and the New York Hilton. They're just as married. It worked. Imagine if we were able to take from this experience these changes and not get crazy again and not spend money that we don't have to impress people that we don't like. Imagine if we were able to stop making ridiculous fastness and stop being mavato tyra, stop talking during davening, stop doing all these things that we have time to reflect on and how they're just not wise to do. But these are things that that we have to think about now. But the most important thing in the context of what we're speaking about tonight is the ability to really appreciate the yeshiva. The new guys know what yeshiva is. Yeshiva, I'm talking about Beis Medrash al Talmud. Yeshiva is a beautiful place. It's physically, the structure is beautiful, but the chevra is unbelievable, and the rabbeim are excellent. The mashpiach is like second to none, I'm joking, but we have so much, and the new guys, I hope that you get some flavor for what our yeshiva is now, so that Amir Tzashem and Elul, when you actually come to the yeshiva proper, you'll be able to just like very smoothly and seamlessly just fit right in, because you'll see a lot of familiar faces from the Zoom classes, and you'll know the Rabbeim a little bit, you'll get to know me a little bit, or a lot of it, Amir Tzashem, over the next few weeks, next few months. Right now, I think we'd probably be heading up this Shabbos and the next Shabbos to Dora Golding, and have a great time up there in Camp Dora Golding. We always have a retreat this time of year, and it's a great bonding opportunity. There, some Shavuos, and it's just an amazing experience. And we have to, if we can't be there now, we have to at least appreciate and long for it and yearn for it. And understand that yeshiva is not just time of building. Yeshiva is yeshuva and shalom. It's really a fundamental mainstay of the world. If the world would know what yeshiva bachur is, they would never have any disliking for yeshiva bachur, or put them down or think badly of them. They would literally put them on a pedestal, because they would understand that the entire world exists in their zchus. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says that what is an apikairis? We always speak about this guy's an apikairis, that guy's an apikairis. What's an apikairis? So the simple pshat apikairis is like a min, like somebody that doesn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu or in Torah Nisinai, something like that. So there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that, you know what an apikairis is? An apikairis is somebody who says, my ahani lan rabbonin. What are these rabbis doing for us? With the two tani, with the two shani, they're learning for themselves, and they're learning mishnayos, learning gemara. They're just doing mental, Talmudic gymnastics. They're splitting hairs over ancient texts, and they're doing it just, they're sitting in their ivory tower and talking about Talmudic topics that are not relevant to the rest of the world, but they're not doing anything for me. What are these rabbis doing? I should support a kayla, I should support a yeshiva. What do they do for me, these guys? They're just warming benches all day. That's an apikairis. Whoever says that is the textbook definition of an apikairis. Because if only they would know that what we're doing is nothing short of keeping the world going, and especially today, when there are no formal yeshivas, and we are the yeshiva. What we're doing right now is yeshuva and shalom. We are doing no less than the President of the United States, the head of the WHO, the head of the CDC, the head of all of these big people that everybody thinks are in charge of the world, and they're keeping everything together and going, and Andrew Cuomo. We are the people that are really keeping the world going at all times. But especially today, when we don't have when all the yeshivas are closed and shuttered throughout the world, and we are here learning, it's a tremendous chus. It's a tremendous chus that we literally are sustaining the very being, the very existence of the world that we live in. I want to just, to everybody on this Zoom, but specifically the new Talmidim, I would like to ask you to maintain a kesher with me, especially the old guys. But the old guys, I do maintain a kesher with. But the new Talmidim, I want to just give you my number. I gave it to you by orientation. If you have a pen and a paper or a phone or whatever, just take my number down, and I will try to call you if you don't call me. But try to call me, preferably before 12 o'clock at night. But my number is 917. 3646. Again, that's 917-297-3646. And you can reach me and you can schmooze with me. And if I don't answer, leave me a message and I'll get back to you. It's very important to me personally that I have a kesher with each of you. So normally if Yeshua was gone, we'd be schmoozing by my table. I don't have a table and they don't let me into the building, and they certainly probably won't let you into the building. So barring that, call me. And I'd like to know about you and about your situation, what you're doing and what your plans are, and good stuff, bad stuff, whatever you want to talk about. That's what I'm here for, and that's what I live for. And I have tremendous ava for all the Talmidim, and it's very, very important that we maintain a kesher now, and then the kesher will get stronger, mitzvah Hashem, as we go into the summer and Elul, mitzvah Hashem. So that's the end of tonight's Vav. I want to thank everybody for joining.